Welcome back. We have our final panel and two candidates starting out for a seat F, and let's welcome the incumbent, Jeff Friedman.
Thank you. My name is Jeff Friedman. I'm running for re-election to seat F. I'm running for two reasons. First, I really love this job. I've had nothing in my career as an attorney and in other jobs that I've held that I've found more rewarding than working with the employees and other people in the district to help educate our children. Second, I believe I still have something to contribute. I've learned a lot over the last 6 years on the board, and I'd like to put that experience to work. During my time on the board, we have increased vocational and career training. We've implemented a six-year instructional plan to focus all of our staff on academics and improving student performance. We have invested a large amount in technology, and we have made significant progress in reducing the dropout rate and improving the graduation rate. Our test scores are going up, and more students are being educated every year. I would appreciate your vote on April 7th for seat F, Jeff Friedman. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Len Anderson will have the first question.
Positive note, but what are the biggest challenges facing the district?
I think the biggest challenge facing the district is finding a way to engage those students who are at risk of dropping out or who are attending school but not really putting forth the effort to take part in their education and be an active participant in the learning. It's not just a matter of teaching. On the other side of it, a student has to be there engaged and willing to learn. And finding a way to reach those children who are not involved in their education is a huge challenge.
If I might ask, when you went from citizen to member of the board, what was the biggest surprise, the thing that you really felt that you didn't know till you got there?
Well, there were probably a lot of things.
Pick your favorite.
Yeah. I mean, as a preface, if I might, I had spent most of the prior 2 years attending school board meetings, so I really thought that I knew what I was getting into. And when I got to my first meeting and we started talking about having to expel students for drugs or fighting and what would happen to them if they weren't going to be in school and how we could accommodate their needs while still keeping the rest of the students in school safe, that was a huge shock. I mean, I knew those things happened, but I didn't realize the depth of involvement at the board level and the amount of effort that went into keeping those students on track towards graduating.
Len Anderson.
In that regard, board member John Steiner, who's not up for reelection this time, has been trying to pursue or looking into pursuing finding ways to keep students who would otherwise be suspended out of school or expelled out of school within the system so they could still graduate or have a sense. Is that a viable program given the cost and liability?
I don't think we have any choice but to try to do things like that. There's a cost to society of just letting teenagers or younger students sometimes just be out on the streets or at home alone because their parents are working. We have a number of programs. We have a continuation school and a COHO program that serves students who have been expelled or on long-term suspension. We are also trying to put in more in-school suspension opportunities. It requires space, and it requires a teacher to supervise during that time. But I think it's something we need to work on and we need to do more of.
Okay. Thank you very much. How well do you think the board is communicating with the public so that the public understands what you're doing and why?
I'd give us mixed grades on that. Part of the problem, or part of the situation, I guess, I'm not sure it's a problem, it's just a fact, is that community members are interested in what's happening in the schools or in the district when they have an issue. And when they don't, they're not particularly, they have their own lives. They're not particularly focused on what we might be saying. There is a lot that we say during board meetings, in press releases, at community council meetings that most people don't hear about. It's not reported a lot in the press because if there's not a crisis, it's not news. So we make that effort. I think we need to do better, but it's a one of the factors is that people are busy with other things, and they're not always paying attention when we speak. And when they're paying attention, we don't always have the time to address the particular issue that they're concerned with.
Thank you. Lynn Anderson.
Would you characterize the recent, given the mayor's reaction, attempted cuts as a difficulty with communication, at least to those representatives of the people?
No, I think they had multiple opportunities, and they did. We do sit down with the Assembly on many different occasions. Certainly we have formal meetings 4 times a year with them. They understood our budget. They understood what we were spending money on. They just felt that other factors outweighed the arguments we were making. So I think that wasn't a communication issue there.
Are we spending too much on pupil transportation or not? And if so, what can we do about it?
Well, we're spending what it costs. And, you know, we have made, you know, we have larger buses. We've consolidated routes. You don't want children to be on the bus for hours at a time and have just one very large route. But we've done, I think, what can be done within a school bus system. One of the things people have asked us to look at, and I think we will look at, is trying to integrate more with the people mover system. But the sheer difference in size is makes that challenging. I mean, they have 40 or 50 buses to our 300 buses. And so it would require a major investment by somebody to increase their capacity in order to handle our students. So those are things we can look at, but until then, it's
it sounds like one of those diesel. Things that's easy until you try and do it.
So we're in a more compact city, it's a lot easier. But in a spread-out city like ours, it's harder.
Lynn.
The Alaska Native Charter School, continuing on the transportation, was able to work a bit of busing. Do you see that as a one-shot deal or something that could expand? I think they also have a lunch program where that's not necessarily the case in other charters.
Right. I think they have one advantage is they are a Title I school, so they have a little bit of extra money that way. And their transportation that they were providing, my understanding is it was essentially one route from one part of town to another. If they were trying to go all over the Anchorage Bowl or even out to Eagle River to gather students and then bring them all into one charter school, that would be very expensive. But the more we can build on what people are doing for transportation, I think the better. It's just kids can only walk so far, especially in the winter when our sidewalks aren't plowed.
Mr. Friedman, we're running out of time. If you could go to your closing statement, please, sir.
Sure. Thank you. As a board member, I've spent lots of time in schools, including entire days in one classroom or several classrooms over the past few years. I've talked with students, staff, parents, and other community members about what we need to be doing to improve our schools. I think we are making progress. I know we are making progress, and I'd like to continue working with the community and with the district and going forward with what we have been doing and trying to fix what isn't working and add to what is working. I would appreciate your vote on April 7th for seat F. Thank you.
Thank you, and let's meet challenger Don Bundick.
Hi, good evening. Thank you, Mr. Lynn and Mr. Mike, for having me here and you at home. How do you feel about the school that your child goes to? Do you feel that your child's educational needs are being met? Are you concerned when you see more and more of our seniors not graduating because they're not being challenged? Well, my name is Dawn Bundick, and I'm running for school board seat F. I have spent a lot of time in schools and living rooms talking to parents that are concerned about the direction the school board is going. I have heard some people that say we are on the right track, but most people I have spoken to would like to see more from their school board. I believe one of the biggest challenges facing us today is the dropout rate. We have far too many students opting to drop out of our school and enter the workforce, or they do nothing at all. We must find new ways to keep them in school. In addition, we need to make sure they are learning and their diplomas resonate what they have learned, and it means something to them when they graduate. Again, my name is Dawn Bundick. Thank you, and I'd like you to ask you for your vote, and because your child's future begins on Tuesday, April the 7th.
Thank you very much. We'll go to Lynn Anderson.
When you said not challenged, do you mean that the work is too easy, that it's, or else it's not pertinent to what they view as their future? I'm just sort of curious.
I'm going to give you an example of my own son. When he went to the school and he was learning, he was challenged, but also he had a lack of some ideas and also some actual things that he learned. So when he graduated, it hindered him when he started college. But as he continued to learn new things, he got together and he got it together where the challenges that he had in high school and also in elementary school, it hindered him because once he got to college, he realized that he was lacking some basic skills. So some of the things that my son learned was not exactly, it was challenging to him, and he was enrolled in the IEP program. And so once he got that help, and now that he's gotten that help, the challenges that he had, it hindered him now that he is in college. So some of the things that the children are learning or may not be learning is challenging for them. And so the challenges of the school district haven't risen to the level of the children.
Thank you. We've heard some complaint that some of our schools are too large to provide a creative learning environment. Do you think that's true? And if so, what can we do about it?
I believe that is true because the school, the classroom sizes are too large. There is too many children in the classrooms for one teacher to effectively know all the children's abilities, their strengths, and their challenges. So if we could get those classrooms reduced or get more teachers to help them then know those abilities and strengths and challenges, then they will be able to learn more and more. But I do believe the classrooms are too large. And some of the kids that are smarter, they're bored. And some of the kids that are not smart, they get lost. And so the teachers are not able to gauge all the abilities and the challenges that each student has.
Thank you. Len?
I remember in our conversation for KSKA profile that you mentioned that you had been helping students who were approaching graduation or had graduation in the hunt for money for post-secondary education. You mentioned earlier that you started going through the individual education program. Mm-hmm. And I assume some of the other students are kind of a broad spectrum. As you help them mm-hmm. look for money or scholarships or get into the education they want, what are the weaknesses they might have? Is there a general pattern? But also, what are the strengths?
Okay. Well, yes, I do help children find scholarships and money for school. They come over to my house every other Sunday, and we put together their portfolios. And I invite the parents. It's a must that the parents do come to my house because the parents have to be totally involved. But the children that are doing their portfolios, it's very time consuming. I made it a point actually to make my son do it. He couldn't go do what he wanted to do because he was doing his scholarship portfolios. But the children have to take the time to do it. And also the families, the parents have to help their children do this. So the challenge for a student to take on this project, it is enormous. But I made it a point to my son and my household that there's free money out there. And we're going to get that free money for you to go to college. So it is very imperative that the parents are involved in trying to help find scholarships for their children. And sometimes the children don't want to do the work. But once they find out that they get the first scholarship, they're more enticed. They get more excited to find those scholarships. So basically what I've done is just taken that realm of helping students find free money scholarships so they can go to college. My son got 13 scholarships, and he's in his fourth year of college, and he hasn't paid a dime.
I guess when you work with the students, do mm-hmm. you see certain holes in their academic background that hinder them, but do you also see strengths?
Yes, I do see some holes because when we are looking for scholarships for a certain child, some children don't want to do the essays because they do not have a good reading abilities or they don't have good language skills. So we focus looking for scholarships that are based on their strengths. So also that's what I gear it towards because I'm sitting there with these children and I pretty much build on their strengths, what they have. Like my son, he doesn't like to write essays. So I focused on his community service. He did 769 hours of community service. And so he got his scholarship based on his community service, not necessarily academics. So the scholarships that the children look for, I really make sure that I know the child, and the parents know this as well. I know their strengths and weaknesses so that we can pair up with the best scholarships that they can get. Because not every student is an academic student. They could be vocational students. And my son is a vocational student.
Okay. You have time for a closing statement, please.
Thank you. I believe we are fortunate to live in such a beautiful and diverse city. It's a place that is still new enough for people to look out for and help our fellow neighbors. Tonight, I would ask for your help. Allow me to be your voice and be a steward for your children. I'm not a career politician, but I'm an experienced leader in listening to your concerns. I am not looking to jumpstart my career in a higher office, but I am a doer. I'm a parent and a concerned citizen that is concerned about the education system that continues to produce children that may be struggling or unable to go to college or enter the workforce. We as parents are educational consumers for our children, and our children deserve the best. If you're happy with the current results, then you will need to look to other things as far as voting for a candidate that may make a difference. I want to be there for your children, which will be a shining new start for you. Vote Dawn Bundick. Let's make this a better future for our children. Please vote for me, April 7th. Thank you.